Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special episode recorded at the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day. We heard from one of the three World War II veterans who were there to lay wreaths in front of the memorial's Freedom Wall of Gold Stars, and those veterans weren't the only ones there with very personal connections to that ceremonial laying of the wreaths.
As we gather together this morning to remember the more than 400,000 Americans who lost their lives in World War II, we also remember the families that were left behind. Those families are represented here today by American World War II Orphans Network members, Colonel Robert Meek Jr., whose father, Second Lieutenant Robert Meek, was killed during a raid on the Magenta Bridge near Milan, Italy, in October 1944. And Ken Underwood, whose father, Lieutenant Kenneth Underwood, was a P-38 Lightning pilot with the 8th Air Force, 55 Fighter Group, and was killed on May 18, 1944.
My father was a P-38 Lightning fighter pilot. He was killed about 6 weeks before I was born, on 18th of May, 1944. He never came home. He's buried in England at the American Cemetery there in Cambridge. They do a very wonderful memorial service here every year. The Brits still love us. And so next year I'll be taking my family, my son and daughter, over there for the 80th anniversary of their grandfather's death. And we'll be there for Memorial Day next year. So he had quite a few missions. My mother got the telegram when she was 7.5 months pregnant with me. They were both 22 years old. Started holding hands in the seventh grade, you know, walking home from school. It's one of those stories. Everybody in Topeka, Kansas knew them, Ken and Alice. And so it was very, very hard on her, I'm sure.
And how old were you when you started to understand that story and the gravity of it?
Well, I don't know the exact age. I'm guessing probably six or so. My mother remarried when I was three to an Army veteran. And he had broken his neck in an air raid. He was a farmer. He and I had the same birthday. So Mom always said that's why she married him. but he was a wonderful man. I idolized him. We were never stepfather, stepdad. We were dad and son, you know, growing up. Your question was why I'm here today. Well, I'm here because I made a presentation of a wreath for the American War Orphans Network, or AWON. Anyone listening to this broadcast who knows of a child of a World War II serviceman or woman who was killed in World War II, they should look up the American War Orphans Network. We're looking to add new people because we're getting right up there in age too. I will be 80 next year. So that's why I'm here, and I made the presentation. I try to come every year, and I wear the P-38 Lightning shirt to honor my father. I was kidding around that I was the only person on the dais up there that didn't have a coat and tie on. I had this shirt with the P-38 Lightning, and I think that's what you noticed.
Well, and what could be a better tribute to your father? I'm curious, are there some things that by exploring this part of your background and participating in the War Orphans Network and coming to events like this and your own research, are there some things that you've learned about your father or some connections you've made that have made that time you've invested really worth it?
Oh, yes. I never knew much about my father. Back that generation, they didn't talk about it. My mother never talked about him. She wouldn't talk about him. And even though she was happily married to my dad, my stepdad, he wouldn't do it. So as I grew older, I always wondered, where did he die? What caused his death? All she got was a telegram saying that he was killed in an aircraft accident on 18 May 1944, letter to follow. Never received a letter. I don't believe she even received a flag. I always wondered if he had taps played for him, that type of thing. And it was through his fighter group that I became very interested. And I met a man who flew with him in combat. His flight leader told me my father was a very good pilot, and they had him as a wingman on many missions. I also met his crew chief, Sergeant Maloney, who told me funny stories about him. And I was laughing and crying at the same time because I'd never heard anybody talk about my father as a pilot, as a fighter pilot. And so that was really wonderful. They said, and this might be of interest to some folks who know baseball, but they said, we need to talk to a guy named Burt Shepherd. I said, well, really? I've heard that name. They said, well, he bunked next to your father. He was shot down 3 days after your father was killed. I said, oh, well, how do I find Burt? They said, well, he hasn't been, we've had two reunions, he hasn't been to either one. We think he lives in Southern California. Now, this is 1985. I said, well, gosh, I live in Southern California. That shouldn't be any problem to find Burt. Well, you know, this is before the internet and all that, you're right? So you had to call every town and say, hi, do you have a listing for Burt Shepherd? Well, I tried that for a couple of years. I looked for him, couldn't find him. I went to an air show. And about 1987, where the Plains of Fame Museum is. Yes, I know those guys, yeah. So I was standing on the flight line watching a P-38 Lightning fly. I'd never seen one. And my mother always told me there's never a sound like a P-38 Lightning. So there must have been, I don't know, 5,000 or more people standing along there. And we're standing behind a bank of television cameras there. And I just happened to look up the White Lightning, Lefty Gardner. You may have seen him at air shows. That's another story. I got to fly with Lefty quite a bit after I met him. But anyway, he was doing his thing. And I just said out, you know, I just looking up saying, well, now I know what my mother means when she said there's no other airplane sound like a P-38. And a man next to me said, oh, you ought to hear it with the turbochargers. And I went, really? I said, well, my father flew one. We're not, you know, we're just kind of still watching the plane. He said, yeah, so did I. Well, I turned to him to introduce myself, and guess who it was? Burt Shepherd. Yeah, true story.
What are the odds?
That's my thing when I give people. Well, I talk to children a lot, you know, and I tell them, as I'm telling my story, I want you to think about what are the odds of the things I'm going to tell you now. So Burt told me, and it goes, long story short, I mean, it's a long story. I mean, I'd love to tell it, but through him, I found the tree in England that killed my father. To the day, 48 years to the day, it was 60 miles away from his base, it's east of Cambridge. And I had pictures of the crash site I got from the Air Force. Burt told me I could do that. And of course, I saw the plane scattered everywhere. There was this one tree. Now, this is back in 88, I think. One tree in that picture. The rest of them all gave away. And that's a tree that killed my father. And I told Burt, sitting at a Dodgers game, that I'm going to find that tree. Well, 4 years later, I did. The story was written in a book called USAAF Fighter Stories, 1997 edition by Ian McLaughlin. So it's a fantastic story. There are a number of YouTubes about my father and me and this. Now, Burt, back to Burt, Burt Shepherd, well, he was shot down in Germany, and he lost his lower leg. And in the POW camp, they had to cut it off. It was all mangled. And he came back. And he pitched for the Washington Senators with a wooden leg. So if anyone's listening and comes to Washington, D.C. and goes to a Nationals baseball game, they have murals on the main floor as you walk through it of famous players that played for the Washington Senators. There's only one who has two murals, Burt Shepherd. He became a great friend and helped me along my journey. Without him, none of that would have happened. I'd still be wondering, what did it look like, where he was killed, what happened. We still don't know really what happened. He had an emergency, obviously, and had to belly land. But my son is now a captain in the United States Air Force. He is a fighter pilot. He flies the F-15E Strike Eagle. He has done things that your audience has seen on television and on the internet, trust me. I'm very proud of him. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. So on ceremonial occasions, when he has to put on his dress blues, he wears his grandfather's World War II fighter pilot ones. How cool is that?
Well, and that brings up a question that I'm not sure if you can answer or not. Do you think your son would have pursued that path if you hadn't taken the time to investigate your family's legacy and your father's ultimate sacrifice in World War II?
My immediate thought is probably not. Yeah, probably not. He had the bug as soon as he found out his father, grandfather was a fighter pilot. I had pictures on the wall of his room as he's growing up. I started flying when he was 8 years old. he just loved it. I put him in aerobatic planes, put him all kinds of things, and everything that he touched, it was like he was just made to be in that cockpit. And the funny thing about it is, when we found out we were going to have a boy, the doctor said, well, his birthday is projected to be April 16th. Guess whose birthday that is? His grandfather. He was supposed to be born on his grandfather's birthday. But I tell people, he's always had a need for speed. And so he came early, March 27th, 1993. But he's just real happy in what he's doing. People always tell me I must be proud of him. Yes, I am. But I tell people I'm more happy than proud. It's all he ever wanted to be. And I tell him, I said, you know, he majored in history at Kansas State. And I said, it's a good thing you became a fighter pilot. You'd be teaching seventh grade history in Kansas somewhere. So I think he's pretty happy. He's where he's at now. Yeah.
If you had the chance to meet this P-38 pilot you never met, your father, is there something you'd ask him? Is there something you'd want to know or something you'd want to say to him?
Oh, yeah. What happened? As a pilot, I want to know what happened. How the book came about also is that, not just by what are the odds, there's so many what are the odds in the story. It's really worth looking into. Two young boys were 13, 11 in England. They saw the P-38 go over their head. They saw the pilot kick off the cockpit. And this man's a professor of English in Lethbridge University in Canada. He writes like Shakespeare. And he taught how the cockpit floated through the air, hit the ground, and scattered a million pieces. They saw him go over a copse of trees, and they got on their bicycles, and they bicycled over there. No pilot when they got there. For 48 years, they thought that pilot had lived. They did not know he died. So they took me to the site, and the farmer was there, and he was 16 at the time. And he took us, we walked along this path. It was an old pilgrim path, if you will. He was killed near Bury St. Edmunds. Bury's like a church. And it's all, you know, broken apart now. But back in the, way back in like 1200, something like that, people walk on this path to get there. And we're walking along, and all of a sudden, there's that tree. There's that tree. And I went, oh my God, it was 48 years the day he died. And I had pictures, and I had blown them up. And so the farmer and I walk out into a field where he said, when my father had finally stopped, I don't know what happened. I didn't want to know for sure. I knew he was killed, but I didn't know. I don't know if he was burned or whatever. And, so we're standing there, and the farmer looks down at the ground. He says, well, what is this? And he looks down, and he pulls up this twisted, riveted piece of metal. He said, this is from your father's airplane. This is none of my farm equipment. And he said, Ken, for 48 years, I've been looking for a piece of that airplane. I farm this land every year. And now you're standing or looking down at it? You know, what are the odds? Now, if you want to follow the story, and I think your listeners, if they're still listening and may blabber on, if you go to YouTube and type in 1997 Anglia, A-N-G-L-I-A, television, Underwood, you'll see the story pop up. And I won't tell the audience what happened. I want them to see, but I'll tell you later. Because it's only about a four-minute video. But if you folks have listened to this, what are the odds? I didn't even begin to tell you all what are the odds that led me to that tree.
Well, we're going to hear more about that journey of discovery when we come back. You can follow Ken Underwood's advice and pull up those videos connected to his family's Gold Star story online. I've also made it easy for you at hometownheroesradio.com, where you can find a link as well to the Stories Behind the Stars project. That's the effort to tell the story of every single American who was killed while serving in World War II, with a deadline a little more than 2 years away. The goal is to have all of those done, more than 400,000, by the time we mark the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II in 2025. It's a grassroots effort involving volunteers all over the country. You can go to storiesbehindthestars.org or pull up that link at hometownheroesradio.com, and we'll be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. Over 1,500 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.